Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Now on the tee.
Is it time? Let's do this.
It's time for Real Golf Radio, the longest-running nationally syndicated golf show in the country, with insights and experience of professional golfer Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper, and the passion and, fun of Brian Taylor.
Nice.
Here they are, the hosts of Real Golf Radio, Brian and Bob.
Well, hey there, and welcome to another edition of Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Thanks for joining us and being a part of the show. At Real Golf is the Twitter handle. Follow along and join the conversation. Let us know what you think. And like I said, thanks for choosing to listen to us each and every week, talking golf with you for 20 years. It's a President's Cup week here in late December, mid-December, as we look to wrap up a 2019 calendar year of professional golf. And I'll tell you what a great start. We're coming to you right now. It is the halfway point due to the time change. You're going to hear us talking about some things that have already, probably some things that have happened after we have recorded the show. And so we'll have to address that on Twitter at Real Golf. You can, like I said, join the conversation there. But through the halfway point, it has been really exciting. Hot start for Team International or slow start for Team USA? I guess that's debatable, but I'll tell you what, the way things went down with Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, dropping a couple of bombs to keep this thing relative, boy, that was exciting stuff.
It was exciting stuff. You know, it was pretty crazy. I was almost turned off watching the U.S. team play, talking about them having to fly across the world 26 hours. Guy still in a brain fog, all that kind of thing. And you were
bent out of shape.
Yeah. And then things turned around with Patrick Cantlay making that putt, Justin Thomas making a putt, and Ricky Fowler and Gary Woodland having a point. And, you know, now we keep it relevant, and it's going to be fun to watch as it goes to the weekend.
No question about it. Really good stuff. And a lot of storylines playing out of this. We got Patrick Reed playing the villain, as he loves to do, and he's doing an extra special job this week. We got some digging some holes, shoveling some sand coming off of what happened last week. We will address that. Ryan Ballingy with GolfNewsNet.com will join us, anxious to get his thoughts. Also, America's favorite caddy stops by and offers a counterpoint to those ready to throw Patrick Reed under the bus. We'll talk about all that as we continue. And then, of course, Royal Melbourne. Royal Melbourne has been absolutely terrific, and yes, it is fun golf to watch. Bob, I'm anxious to jump on a plane and go over there and just to play that golf course. It is something special.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see how the golf course lays out. It's fun to see all the knobs and bumps and rolls in the greens, how fast they are, how firm they are. And it's putting up a great test, no doubt.
It is Lynx Golf Down Under style, and I love the way it's playing. And, of course, Tiger, the playing captain. That guy is unbelievable. He's showing who the real Captain America is, and that is Tiger Woods. We'll get into it all next. Thanks for joining us. Brian and Bob with you right here on Real Golf Radio. You love crushing the long ball. Well, so do the pros. That's why they play Callaway. And that's why Callaway is now the number one driver on major tours worldwide. Led by the Epic Flash, with Flash Face technology, Callaway used artificial intelligence to completely maximize distance and deliver ball speed you didn't even know was possible. Basically, they used crazy science to solve very important things, like hitting more bombs. What a world. Go own the tee box like the pros. Build your Epic Flash driver today at CallawayGolf.com.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it, Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
What kind of golf ball are you playing? The one you've always played or the one that can actually help you perform better? Because Chrome Soft is the only ball with a graphene-infused dual soft fast core to give you the unheard-of combination of crazy long distance that's also incredibly soft. It's why tour guys like Phil Mickelson, Xander Schauffele, and Francesco Molinari keep winning with it. And now Chrome Soft X is available with triple track technology for improved alignment. Get the ball that changed the ball today at CallawayGolf.com.
The new OGO Alpha Convoy golf bags set a new standard for what cart bags should be.
The new OGO Shadow Fuse 304 stand bag is ultra sleek, but there's nothing simple about it.
The OGO Alpha is inspired by tactical military gear and high performance equipment from the outdoor industry.
While the Shadow's integrated design and finest performance materials work seamlessly to deliver absolute efficiency for unmatched performance.
Both are in stores now, or check it out at OGO.com.
This is Brian Taylor. There are things in your life that stand out as significant, game changers even. They impact everything else you do. I'm not overstating when I say my choice to have LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision was one of those. Growing up, I had good vision. I never wanted glasses. One day in college, I realized I couldn't see the whiteboard. Finally, I broke down, I got glasses and contacts, and I was introduced to the world of irritated and dry eyes, contact solution, broken glasses, you name it. Finally, I had LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. This was a game changer. No more contacts, no more solution, no more glasses. Instantly, I could see. It was so easy and it worked. My only regret was waiting so long. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with the latest technology, they give you more options than ever. Do yourself a favor. Go to hoopsvision.com right now and schedule your free consultation. And mention Real Golf Radio and save $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Hoops Vision is your key to making sure nothing gets between you and your life focus. It's one of those moments you'll always remember.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio, presented by Callaway Golf. It's that time of year to go to CallawayGolf.com and check out their holiday gift guide. They've got everything you need if you want to go crazy and get a brand new set of Apex irons. I recommend the black, the Apex Black Pro irons. Absolutely phenomenal. It's what I played all year long. But you can do something like that and absolutely blow the mind of somebody on your list. You can also do something if you want to go a little smaller. They got gift cards available starting at just $25. The Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X golf balls, they're on sale with free personalization through the end of the year. Get out there. They got duffel bags, backpacks, hats, balls, gloves, everything you need for the golfer on your list at CallawayGolf.com. And we appreciate their support of the show as we wrap up year number 20 of doing Real Golf Radio. Pretty phenomenal and pretty special to be able to sit next to this guy, Bob Casper, all these years. Of course, his dad, the late, great Billy Casper, who it meant so much to him playing in these cup competitions. Although he didn't play in a President's Cup, he was Captain America, if you will, when it came to Ryder Cup play back in the 60s, 70s, and even captaining into the 80s. This is a guy that has won more points for Team USA in Ryder Cup competition than any other player. He's the winningest player in Ryder Cup history for Team USA. Just a phenomenal record, and he loves this thing. So when you hear Bob talk about the Cups, that's what's instilled into him. Not only his dad, but his mom right alongside his dad as a captain, the wife of a captain, being their root on the team, and it is all red, white, and blue. So when you hear Bob and I talk about this, and I say, hey, this is phenomenal, this is great, it's a close match, our guys are a little behind, they got some work to do, I'm compelled, and Bob's like, no, I want them to actually be running away with this thing, I don't like any part of these close matches. That's the background that we're coming into this thing, but really cool stuff. And I'll just start, Bob, with Captain Tiger Woods. When you're the captain, your goal is to put the best players on the golf course with the best position to win and help your team. There is no possible way that any captain would sit down Tiger Woods. And so Tiger himself as the captain had to insert Tiger Woods. And it's a good thing, or this thing probably would have been over before it started. Tiger was playing some phenomenal golf.
Well, Tiger and Justin Thomas played some great golf. And they started it off right from the get-go with Tiger making two birdies in the first two holes and taking a two-up lead and then making, you know, that chip in for birdie where he told Justin to go get Justin Thomas to go get that.
Did you like that, by the way? A little taking a little of Jordan Spieth.
That was pretty awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Reminiscent of Jordan Spieth telling Michael Groller to go do that at the Open Championship when he won. But I loved how he got off to a great start. I loved how they set the tone for everything. But I'll tell you what, those groups behind him, they struggled, man. They had a hard time, and it proved it out when, you know, Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas were the only ones that scored a point in that first session.
Well, I think some of the guys were really sluggish in their starts. Yeah. I look at Tony Finau, who was the first captain's pick. He was carrying Bryson DeChambeau, man. Bryson was offering nothing in that match. And you saw some of those, that same case where, you know, Dustin Johnson struggled and Gary Woodland struggled. And, you know, there was a lot of guys that just weren't really ready to go out there. And fortunately, it's still close. These guys are extremely talented and far from being written off despite losing the first session 4-1. And that snapped to, 36 consecutive sessions won by Team USA. Pretty remarkable that they were able to do that. And credit Ernie Els. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Ernie Els. I mean, I had a chance to meet him on occasions and visit with him. He's such a nice man and what he's done for autism and that type of thing. And he's just, I love how he's really taken a Moneyball approach to this, isn't he, Bob? He's got statistics up there. He's got the laptop. He's got his assistant captains. They are going off some data and statistics, and that's why they flipped it. That's why they flipped the format to be able to give them the best opportunity to go out there. And after, like Ernie Els said, look, we were horrible. If you look at the last 25 years, we've been terrible in the foursome. So to split it 2.5, you know, that's we'll take it. And they got the 4-1 lead in the four balls. So understanding strengths, really being disciplined with teaching his team how to play this golf course, giving them an advantage. I think all of those factors make Ernie Els a terrific captain and putting his team, giving his team a best position to win, understanding that they're significant underdogs.
Well, and the other thing is you know, Ernie Els has had the, you know, half of his team that played last week in the Australian Open. So they've had experience on this golf course, and a lot of rounds on this golf course. And then the other half, well rested, arrives early. And when they went out to play practice rounds, the first thing he did is he sent out an Aussie with every group, with every foursome, so that, they could talk about the golf course. They could talk about the things that you need to do, things to play. Then Ernie Els had a game plan for his team. This is the way you're going to play the hole. This is what you're going to do. It's going to give you the best opportunity. A lot of those guys were talking about, you know, this is a golf course that you don't just kind of pound it and get it down there and try to make a lot of birdies, because there's a lot of knowledge to it. You got to get the ball on the green. You've got to have opportunities for two putts and stuff. And you know what these guys are doing? These guys are hitting a lot of greens, getting into those short to mid-range putts, and they're making a bunch of them. And that's what's put the pressure on the U.S. team, is those guys making those short to mid-range putts. And then the U.S., you know, maybe attacking the holes a little bit too much, not giving themselves opportunities to make birdies, or when they do have opportunities to make birdies, you know, they're pounding it. They're pounding the ball, knocking it by the hole, and, you know, having three putts and that kind of thing. You know, it's been interesting to see the mentality of both sides and how Ernie Els has schooled these other guys, and it's really paying off.
Yeah, it's clear that there are cases where those pin locations call for leaving yourself a 30-footer or a 18-footer under the hole, as opposed to try to navigating a 7- or 8-footer above the hole, because you're probably going to have a 20-footer coming back if you miss it. And I think you saw that time and again. Looked like, just from the camera angle, the U.S. is in tight. All of a sudden, there's the international team coming up short or on an opposite angle, and they're rolling that putt in because they can be aggressive, understanding what that putt does. The team that puts the pressure on Team USA, they got a ginger putt. They go to tap it in. We saw this with Ricky Fowler. Birdie putt to win the hole, knocks it by. Gary Woodland misses it coming back, so they go from a chance to win the hole to actually losing the hole in a critical situation. Fortunately, they were able to come back and get a half a point out of it, but I thought that was just one example where you see that the internationals were understanding the angles and where you need to be. And Bob, I'll take you back to Augusta. Sitting with your dad, Billy Casper, watching Phil Mickelson back in the early 2000s trying to figure out Augusta, going at that back right flag on 16, and your dad just shaking his head because he ends up overshooting it in that back bunker. That absolutely leads to bogey or worse from that location, and your dad's just there. It was so awesome to get a past champion, a guy that's played that course for 30, 40 years and understands it, to say, until Phil understands where and how to play this course and where not to fire at flags, he's not going to be able to unlock it to be able to find success. And then I saw your dad sitting at lunch with Phil Mickelson and helping him sharing some of that knowledge. And one, you know, he goes on to win three of those. So I think that's what Ernie Els has done for these young players, is given them that, the keys to understand the, to how to unlock Royal Melbourne. And it's paid off so far. Now, will that be enough to overcome the talent gap that his team faces? We'll see. But so far, a terrific start, and I think a compelling story taking place there at Melbourne.
And let's not forget that there's seven guys on this team that are youngsters, that guys that are rookies that have never had an opportunity to play in a President's Cup before. That, you know, that in having that, those guys have to rely on the older guys, the guys that have played before, the guys that have had experience, to kind of help them pull them along. And that's what Ernie Els is doing. He's taking those older guys, the mature guys, the guys that have played, you know, this President's Cup before. He's bringing those guys along and pairing them up with those guys. And it's working right now.
I wonder, with so much baggage and scar tissue from President's Cup past, if that's not exactly what this international team needs. Fresh guys to come in here and give it a shot. And conversely, it starts to make me wonder if that's exactly what Team USA needs in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to happen. Like, attrition's going to happen, right? Phil Mickelson's not playing this week. Jim Furyk obviously hasn't played for a little while. So you're going to start seeing these guys, Xander Schauffele's, Justin Thomas's, these kind of guys that are going to start in, Tony Finau's, they're going to start infusing themselves into these competitions, and they're going to start up. You just hope that they can infuse it enough to start getting on the winning side of it, as opposed to starting to experience more of that scar tissue that the older guys experience getting beat down by Team Europe all these years.
Well, you're seeing a little bit of what you're talking about with the younger guys having to come in and start to infuse the team with youth, guys that haven't played before. And you're seeing that with Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Those guys they're out in three matches right off the bat. And I don't think that's a grouping that you're going to see, you know, broken apart. I think Tiger Woods is going to ride that one all the way to the house.
Kind of like your dad did with a couple of rookies back when he was the captain. What was it, Lanny and Larry?
It was Lanny and Larry.
Yeah. They went 5-0.
Larry Nelson ended up going 5-0 in those matches there at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, interesting. It's a chess match, and those little mistakes, I thought the Golf Channel's done a great job of covering it. Their coverage has been fantastic. Frank Nablo's going to be missed when he moves to CBS, but we'll look forward to having him on CBS. But that guy's got some really good insight, and having been part of that 98 team that won at Royal Melbourne, international team, the only winning international team, I think that's priceless as well. Well, listen, coming up next, I think it's been a fantastic start. We'll talk to Ryan Ballingee, see what he thinks about the President's Cup, and also the stories we haven't talked about yet with Patrick Reed. Boy, that guy loves to play the villain, and he's playing it well this week. All that next, right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hi, it's Ned Siegfried. Siegfried & Jensen has been around a long time. We've been handling injury cases for over 30 years. During this time, Siegfried & Jensen has had the privilege of helping tens of thousands of Utahns. If you've had the misfortune of being injured in an accident, we'd love to help you as well. To talk to us for free about your situation, call us at 801-222-2222 or visit us at SiegfriedJensen.com.
Hey, ever wonder how your favorite golf courses in Utah look so good? Pros and golf superintendents agree you should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird golf distributor in Utah. What does that mean for you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust Mountainland Supply will not only have what you need, but they can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone technology controllers, drip irrigation, pipe parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at ZionsBank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA, member FDIC.
This is Brian Taylor. There are things in your life that stand out as significant, game changers even. They impact everything else you do. I'm not overstating when I say my choice to have LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision was one of those. Growing up, I had good vision. I never wanted glasses. One day in college, I realized I couldn't see the whiteboard. Finally, I broke down, I got glasses and contacts, and I was introduced to the world of irritated and dry eyes, contact solution, broken glasses, you name it. Finally, I had LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. This was a game changer. No more contacts, no more solution, no more glasses. Instantly, I could see. It was so easy and it worked. My only regret was waiting so long. Hoops Vision is world renowned, and with the latest technology, they give you more options than ever. Do yourself a favor. Go to hoopsvision.com right now and schedule your free consultation. And mention Real Golf Radio and save $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Hoops Vision is your key to making sure nothing gets between you and your life focus. It's one of those moments you'll always remember.
Whether you're a casual golfer or an avid golfer, let You Into Golf help you fill your wish list with the season's best deals in golf. Featuring special holiday offers from Titleist. Save on Titleist Pro V1, Pro V1X, and AVX golf balls for only $39.99 a dozen. And save $30 on Titleist Vokey SM7 wedges for only $119.99. And while you're there, register to win free golf balls for a year. You Into Golf offers an exclusive 90-day satisfaction guarantee. You Into Golf, helping golfers' holiday dreams come true since 1971.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us here on a President's Cup week of Real Golf Radio. Happy holidays once again, and hope you enjoy the next couple of weeks with family. And I'll tell you what, this is finally a wrap-up, as we mentioned, where the PGA Tour can settle down, and then we turn our attention to Hawaii after the new year. That's also a time for us to shut it down and not think about some things for a while. And I know our next guest is anxious to do that as well. But let's be honest, Bob. Our next guest has a whole lot more going up in his mind than we ever do collectively. Like, this guy, like, he's got stuff. He makes stuff happen. He finds interesting tidbits about the game and shares it. And he's a great guy to follow and great insightful personality. Agreed?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
We love having Ryan on.
From GolfNewsNet.com, Ryan Ballingy joining us right now. Hey, Ry.
Hey, guys. You're far too kind, but I appreciate it.
Overall, President's Cup, just from a general standpoint, do you find yourself, like Bob and I were talking, pleasantly surprised that it's at least interesting and intriguing? Or what are your kind of impressions after watching a couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, however this winds up, if the Americans win the next 20 matches in a row, it's still really refreshing to have gone through this and it be entertaining and competitive. The internationals are playing great. The Americans admittedly aren't playing up to their capability, and that leads to a pretty interesting match. And Ernie Els kind of put it well at the start of the week to his guys. You know, 7 rookies, 5 veterans on a home course. You guys have the chance to pull off a miracle. And right, you know, through 10 matches, it felt like the miracle's on. I think that's great for this. I think the 2015 matches in Korea that were close were great for this. 2017 was a big step back because it was practically over on Saturday. But if it can be more like this in 2015 and 2019, you know, the President's Cup has a bright future. And then Royal Melbourne has just been a star. I mean, what a great course to be able to watch on TV. I would love to be able to play it someday. I'm just salivating watching this golf. And it's so much different than what we see from week to week on the PGA Tour. I want more of that. Mm. I want more of that for the President's Cup.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you look at the captains, you're looking at Tiger Woods that's playing. And then you look at Ernie Els that's, you know, making his way around to each group and that kind of thing. I thought it was pretty interesting. Paul Azinger ended up talking about what Ernie Els said and what he's told his team. And he said, okay, this is the way you're going to play. This is the way you're going to play this hole. And they've kind of done exactly what he's asked them to do. They've jumped headlong into his captaincy, Ernie Els's, and are following him all the way through. And it's proving that Ernie Els is putting guys together that are good, and also that his game plan for this golf course is really working well.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to give credit to Ernie Els, who took the mantle from Nick Price. Nick Price worked really hard to try to make his guys competitive, and he tried to get the format of this thing changed so his guys would have a chance. And it set himself up to lose three times, unfortunately, but I feel like he represented it well, and he passed it off to Ernie Els, a guy who clearly cares. He cares about doing well in this, and I think that's really important. This isn't just a ceremonial thing for him. And for him to come in with a game plan and basically give these guys the way to play the course that is unlike pretty much anything they see all year or through most of their careers was important. And he was criticized for deciding to break up some of the successful teams in four ball and go with different teams in foursomes. And it looked until about the final 45 minutes of that session like he was the smartest guy in the world. And he was going to go up like 8.5 to 1.5. Didn't play out that way, but they have the session. It turned out well. It looked good. And I think now Ernie kind of has to face a choice of how he wants to potentially try to motivate his team or get them going. He said after the Friday session, well, Friday there, Thursday here, these guys maybe need to face a little adversity before they get to the end, and they're going to need to do that early. It's better now than later. I don't know that I believe that. If they were up 9-1 or 8.5 to 1.5 through 10 matches, I'm pretty sure they would feel like they got it in the bag. Then it would probably be in the bag. But you have to credit for what he's done. He's put the right teams together. He seems to have rallied these guys around somewhat of a common cause, and having 8 different countries and a bunch of different languages represented, it seems to be a cohesive unit. That's great.
Ryan Ballinger, GolfNewsNet.com, joining us here, talking about the President's Cup at the halfway point. You know, you mentioned Ernie Els. He's just a guy. I sit there and I watch him, and I'm like, I like that guy. You know, I mean, I have a hard time not liking Ernie Els. And Nick Price was the same way. You can't find a nicer guy than Nick Price. And so this is not a commentary on whether the Europeans are nice guys, but maybe we just have enough of a history where they've just punched us in the nose so many times that they don't seem like nice guys in the Ryder Cup. But in the President's Cup, it's like, nah, they're nice guys. Like, hey, you know what, hope our guys rally. I feel like our guys are going to rally. But, you know, I sort of am happy that they're finding some success and Ernie's finding some success. So from a golf fan standpoint, I found it very different than watching a Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I am in some senses pulling for the internationals because I think this series needs them to be successful this time around. But I can't ever imagine myself saying, go Europe, you know, it'd be great if they won the Ryder Cup. No, I would never find myself doing that. And I don't know if that part of that is, American arrogance. Oh, we've crushed you so many times. Here's this pity victory for you. I hope it's not from that place. I don't think it's from that place. I think that the people who are, you know, on the American side of the equation here that might be hoping for the internationals to win genuinely want this thing to work out. They genuinely want Ernie Els to be successful in this role, want this series to be successful. And at least so far, I think it's been a success. And like I said, even if they come out losers, the internationals do, I still think that this was a step forward for this series.
For sure.
Okay. So enough of the pleasantries, enough of that talk. Let's talk about one of the guys that's on the team that kind of jumped to the forefront last week in the Bahamas. We saw him do it last year during the Ryder Cup and after the Ryder Cup. And here he is, Patrick Reed, after, the halfway point, poisoning poisoning his partner and 0-2 for the matches, Patrick Reed.
Do you think, oh wait, I'm going to stop, Bob, let me just stop you right there, because obviously, Ryan, you know, we're talking about the pleasantries, as Bob calls it, but the U.S. does have the villain. You know, there's no, you know, Ian Poulter villain on the other side. The villain is Patrick Reed, for sure, in this story, and he's the guy on our team, but do you think he's poison? Is he a poison right now? I mean, is Webb Simpson suffering because of what? I know that's what Bob contends, but do you think Webb Simpson's suffering because of Patrick Reed, the other effects of what he's been doing and what the whole shovel gate?
I mean, I think if you look at his last, I think Sean Martin had this stat in the PGA Tour. If you look at Patrick Reed's last 16 matches between the Ryder Cup and President's Cup, he's 1-5. Great singles record because he doesn't have to rely on anybody. That's his MO in life. He can just play his regular brand of golf and be in his own bubble. And that works for him. But being good for 1 point out of a potential 5 is no good in either of those formats. And it seems like both times, you know, the last 2 years, he has created some kind of controversy and then amplified it in some way the week of the event and made it worse. And for the, I could not believe the PGA Tour, when their social media channels has tried so hard over the last couple of days to start the rehabilitation of Patrick Reed's image after what happened at the Hero, you know, from the crowd interacting with him, whatever that was, and, you know, the shoveling motion, them pointing that out on social media with video as though that was some playful thing we should all be happy about. I'm very disappointed in that. And I think that the Americans, whoever it is moving forward, whether, you know, Stricker in 20 for the Ryder Cup, who's going to be in 21, and you know, we'll go down the line in both of these sets of matches. But whoever it is, they've got to think long and hard if Reed doesn't make the team on points, whether they want him to be part of that environment. And I think the record at this point is starting to kind of speak for itself that his addition is subtraction, and maybe a subtraction of him being a part of this, you know, if he doesn't qualify, is an addition to a team. I feel bad for Webb Simpson, who's gone out there twice with Patrick Reed, who basically seems to get stuck with babysitting the most unlikable player on the team whenever he plays, whether that's Bubba or Patrick Reed now. And he's played some great golf this year, and he's saddled with this guy, and now he's stuck. I feel bad for him. So now you're taking down two guys out of the course of the week on a team where right now there's really like two of them playing good, and they're paired together. That's JT and Tiger. So I just can't imagine a world where you go, yes, I would love Patrick Reed on my team if I had a choice after what's happened the last couple of years.
You know, as much as he was liked and cheered for being Captain America, you know, in his first few opportunities of playing Ryder Cups and President's Cups, you know, the last two have really kind of soured me, no doubt about it. In my opinion, and I said this to Brian, Tiger should have cut him loose last week. He was a captain's pick. He should have cut him loose and called Kevin Kisner and said, come on.
I would have been fine with that. I mean, call Kisner, call Kevin Na, call Jordan Spieth. I don't care. Just call someone else. And I get that Tiger likes Patrick Reed, and I'm sure that he sees some form of himself in Patrick Reed somehow. This is the only reason he can defend the guy. But I just don't. I don't see the benefit of him being a part of it. At this point, he's adding nothing, just taking away. And I just can't support. I can't support him being part of the team. I know when he was successful, he was our jerk. Like, you know, he's on our team, but he's our jerk. We're going to root for him. Now he's just a jerk, and he's not helping anything. So why is he there?
I love it. Ryan Ballingy joining us here. All right, so what does the PGA Tour do, if anything? This is what I was asking yesterday on social media. Does the PGA Tour address the whole fact that he cheated? I mean, or is it just golf? You cheated, you got a penalty for it, and you move on. But to me, this feels more egregious, and I'm with you. Mocking the whole digging thing, to me, it's cringeworthy is the word that keeps getting put out there, but it is. It's not funny. It's not playful. It's not like you messed up and you're making fun of yourself. It's none of that. It is you blatantly cheated and then tried to cover it up. And then the PGA Tour PR is trying to help you cover it up and blow it off. And to me, that stinks. Like there's something wrong with that.
I completely agree with you. And every opportunity Reed has had to read the room and show some sense of remorse or understanding of what it is that he did, or even if he doesn't believe that he cheated, what almost everybody else thinks he did, he has failed. I mean, in the news conference, he said, well, I'm not a cheater because I didn't intentionally move the sand. Even if he's lying through his teeth, which he is, that's not the thing to say. And then he goes on and says, well, if I were cheating, I would have made my lie even better, and I would have hit the shot closer. Again, not the right thing to say there. Not the way to respond.
Arrogant.
And then you come out with the shovel thing, and the, combine that with the way the PGA Tour is trying to, I don't know about sweep it under the rug, but move on as quickly as humanly possible. I just think it stinks. It looks bad. It makes the tour look bad. And this isn't the first time this year, by the way, or in recent memory, where the tour has gone on social media and tried to erase the record or move it or change it or move on from a subject for a guy that didn't want it. I mean, several times this year, they would tweet out video of bad shots players hit. John Rahm of the Players comes to mind. And then they would complain, and before you knew it, that video was gone and erased from the record. And I just feel like the PGA Tour's willingness to bend its message or messaging for a certain player and their whims is just not okay.
Really interesting points there, Rye. All right, just, hey, hang on for a second. We got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to get more of your thoughts on this and looking forward to this weekend and beyond into the new year. We'll talk about that with Ryan Ballingy, who continues with us next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Callaway's new Apex irons redefine player's irons. Unmatched feel, distance, and control have been forged to perfection to deliver category-defining performance. Apex irons are the ultimate forged player's distance iron. Callaway's 360 face cups generate industry-leading distance, unmatched feel, and will get every golfer's attention. Tungsten weighting in each iron fine-tunes launch, trajectory, and delivers tremendous control. See perfection in every shot with the new Apex at your local golf retailer or visit CallawayGolf.com and see what makes Callaway the number one irons in golf.
At the first tee, it's the little things in life we pick up.
Hey, thank you.
That make for a successful future.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thanks.
Oh, you dropped this.
Because little things can carry a big impact both on and off the course.
Hey, thanks.
To learn more, visit thefirsttee.org.
Callaway Senior Director of Brand Management, Dave Neville. What makes Jaws the most aggressive groove in golf?
What really grabs the ball where you get the spin from is the edge of the groove. We've been able to make a really, really tight edge radius using some of the proprietary tools that we have. And then in between each groove, we have that groove and groove technology, which are little micro positives that help grab the ball. So you have these 84 contact points on the face to grab the ball and just give you a tremendous amount of spin.
Order Jaws today at CallawayGolf.com.
Your hands with the grip, they form the connection between you and your club. In a game where feel is so important to playing your very best, great shots begin with a great grip. For every golfer who wants to play better, there's a Lampkin grip.
What kind of golf ball are you playing? The one you've always played or the one that can actually help you perform better? Because Chrome Soft is the only ball with a graphene-infused dual soft fast core to give you the unheard-of combination of crazy long distance that's also incredibly soft. It's why tour guys like Phil Mickelson, Xander Schauffele, and Francesco Molinari keep winning with it. And now Chrome Soft X is available with triple track technology for improved alignment. Get the ball that changed the ball today at CallawayGolf.com.
We just changed the putter. Now you need to change yours. A multi-material shaft enabled a radical shift in weight distribution, resulting in a putter designed to improve your actual stroke. Because a better stroke helps make more putts. This is a stroke of genius. Stroke Lab from Odyssey, the number one putter in golf.
Hey,
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Thanks for joining us. Segment brought to you by Callaway. Go to callawaygolf.com/gift guide. It's available right on the front page if you just go callawaygolf.com. Popular gift ideas, all for you. You can break it down to gifts under $50. And how about this? How about a Callaway Golf gift card? Simple as that. From $25, you can just get a gift card, lay it out there, and folks can get online and sign up and buy whatever they want with a nice little discount. They'll thank you for that. As we mentioned before, you can get your Callaway Chrome Soft X available at a special price with free personalization through the end of the year. So also makes a great gift. But really cool stuff if you want to go backpacks, bags, wedges, putters, golf balls, the whole nine yards, all available at CallawayGolf.com and check out their holiday gift guide. All right, Ryan Ballingy, GolfNewsNet.com, standing by with us. And a really interesting discussion as we've been talking about Patrick Reed and what that means and how this has all been perceived. And then this story comes out that they've actually staged fans, American fans out there that aren't even American fans, to try to make the event look better on TV. And okay, at the end of the day, it's all show business, man. I mean, I get it. We're all in show business, but that's a little, again, it's a little contrived, I guess. And we've always said the President's Cup is a little contrived, trying to be what it is, what the Ryder Cup has become organically. And yet this story, I don't think helps that either.
Yeah, Shane Ryan's on the ground in Melbourne for Golf Digest, Golf World, and he tweeted this insane thread of trying to talk to the supposed American fans that were supposedly kind of keeping things even-handed or not as nasty to Patrick Reed during his first match on Thursday. And then all of a sudden, Shane Ryan figures out that the supposed American fans have Aussie accents, and they're actually paid fans who are just there to look like they're Americans and cheer for them and try to keep things in order, I suppose. And then he later finds another group who appear to be American fans. And I guess some of them were of Asian descent, figured, hey, that's cool. They made the trip for the United States or whatever. And none of them spoke English. So they had no idea what Shane Ryan was trying to say to them about being American fans. I think that's really strange. That's really weird. Obviously, that wouldn't happen in the Ryder Cup. There's no need for it. And I don't know if it's part of some grand strategy by the PGA Tour. I mean, there's no point paying like 50 people to be fans when it seems like the crowds are otherwise great at Royal Melbourne. Yeah. So I don't understand this whatsoever. And I would love to hear more about it. I hope Shane digs more into it.
You know, another thing I have a bone to pick with regarding the PGA Tour is the scheduling of this event the week after the Bahamas. I mean, to have these guys fly all the way across the world, not have an opportunity to basically get their sea legs underneath them, also, you know, play the golf course. This is a golf course that you have to have some work in on. You know, when you've got a hangover because of a long flight and you've got to play on Tuesday and everybody's dragging and then play a little bit on Wednesday and start the matches on Thursday. I just think that, for some reason, the PGA Tour scheduling this after Tiger's event or, you know, having Tiger's event where it falls and that kind of thing. I see it extremely difficult for the U.S. team.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake to schedule it this way. And I realize Tiger's event is important to his foundation, and maybe there was some conditioning of Tiger being captain on having that event still as a lead-in or around the President's Cup so that it could have as deep of a field as it typically does. But again, you had 11 of the 12 Americans on your team in that field, and right now only two of them are really playing worth a darn. And I can't understand why you would make that choice if you're Tiger, if you're really that concerned about the American team winning, why you would put them in a position to give them effectively less than 48 hours to, like you said, get your sea legs, get over the time change, do what you can. Not everyone's Bryson DeChambeau and can figure their brain out to be on Melbourne, thankfully. 16 hours ahead. Thank God for him, because he's on the bench. But, I just think that was a big logistical mistake, and it set your team up to not be successful. And, I'm not certain of this, but I would imagine Ernie Els probably used that as motivation, that they think so little of you guys that they ran a tournament, a boondoggle tournament with free world ranking points without you, and they came here and they're just going to fly in and think they're going to destroy you. You show them differently. I'm sure that had to feel disrespectful to those guys in the international.
No doubt about it. Ryan Ballinger, golfnewsnet.com, joining us here. All right, let's end with one of my other side stories, favorite side stories this week. And that, of course, is Phil Mickelson. I mean, the guy is a beaut, isn't he? I mean, the video that he posted with him in the full red, white, and blue, drinking out of the President's Cup, you know, with his wife and his wife's commentary. Someone has a serious case of FOMO. I mean, what a beaut that guy. But seriously, along with that, him missing his first cup, you know, President's Cup and or any cup for that matter. What's your take on Phil and what do you expect out of him in 2020?
I go back to the old Ford commercials of what will Phil do next,
right?
From the 2004-2005 era, where I don't know. I mean, he seems to be going at times through a total midlife crisis with the whole bomb thing of trying to drive it as far as he can because he's not going to put it in the fairway. That seems very strange to deciding all of a sudden he's going to take a 7-figure payday and go play in Saudi Arabia after playing 30 times at the Phoenix Open, and the weird excuses around that. I don't know where he is. And then to show up in an American onesie, I mean, the guy, I have, whatever you think of him, I have to give him credit for being damn entertaining on social media.
He
livens things up. Yeah. So, I mean, at a minimum, at least, and then you have to add in, he is now the host of the American Express, the Palm Springs tournament. He is the official tournament host.
Yeah.
So while he said in one breath on Twitter, you know, this might've been my last chance to play the Phoenix Open, he's the host of the Amex. So I assume he's going to play that at least moving forward. And I don't know what's going to become of him, but he has won in consecutive seasons. And that is something to speak of for a guy that's nearly 50 years old. So one big mystery. And if nothing else, that keeps him fresh and entertaining.
You know, the other interesting thing is Phil's won 32.5 total points in this President's Cup format. Tiger just tied him this mm-hmm. week with 26.5 points. Thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, these guys were the ones that basically made this a thing. I mean, they're between Tiger and Phil and Jim Furyk, I believe, is number three in total points all time on the total list. And then Ernie, I think, is four. So, I mean, you look at those guys, and they were a part of this thing for basically 25 years. I mean, Tiger still is. He wasn't there at the beginning in 94, 96, but came along later. And so they're kind of the chronicle of this event so far. And for Phil to now kind of drop off, and Furyk obviously drop off, Father Time remains undefeated. It'll be interesting to see how Generation 2 from the American side starts to take shape and if those guys will be as dominating and as successful as Tiger and Phil and Jim Furyk were.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Rye, we thank you for taking some time to join us, man. It's always good to visit with you, and it's been a fun year. I think 2019, I said this to Jeff Babineau, who joined us last week, as we kind of looked back on the year. I think 2019 is going to go down as one of my favorites. I mean, there was a lot of good, obviously Tiger starting things off in at the Masters with number 15 and then getting win 82. I mean, there's a lot of big stuff that happened this year, but Brooks doing his thing and then the young guys up and coming, you know, the Morikawas and Wolfs and stuff like that. It's just been, this has been a fun year in golf, in my opinion. And I'm looking forward to seeing what 2020 has, huh?
Yeah, I'm there with you. I mean, nothing's going to really top, you know, Tiger at the Masters, unless he wins the 2020 Masters, I suppose. But we've got a lot to look forward to next year between Brooks and Rory at the top of the world ranking. Tiger, Rahm seems to be stepping into his own. All the trio of young guys. I mean, Hovland doesn't have a win yet, but that seems inevitable. And we got a Ryder Cup year next year. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, no doubt. Whistling Straits, that'll be a good one too. Could be really cold. You never know. You never know by the time they get to
it. It's going
to
be in September.
That's true. September still should be okay. That's true. I'm getting my dates wrong there. But
yeah.
All right, Rye, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and your family, and we'll catch up to you in the new year, huh?
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays. Appreciate it, as always.
There you go. Ryan Ballinger, golfnewsnet.com. Give him a follow on social media. Check out his website. Definitely worth your time. If you're a golf fan, you got to be fine following Ryan. You probably already are. All right, we'll take a short break. More Real Golf continues next. Hey guys, BT here, and Bob and I are two happy customers of Barbecue Pit Stop. I'm absolutely in love with my new Yoder YS640S. This is the most versatile smoker grill I've ever used, and its Wi-Fi makes it a cinch. I feel like a barbecue pit master. Hey, whatever you need from grills and smokers to rubs and sauces, Barbecue Pit Stop has it for you in one of their three locations, Lehi, Salt Lake, or Layton, or online at barbecuepitstop.com.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at zionsbank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA, member FDIC.
Temperatures are dropping, and you know what that means. Frozen pipes, busted sprinklers, and worse. Turn to the experts at Mountain Land Supply to get you the right products for your yard that will last this time. Mountain Land Supply is an exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. That means the golf pros and superintendents trust Mountain Land Supply and Rainbird for their sprinklers, controllers, pipe, and everything they need to irrigate their golf courses. Shop where the pros shop. Go to mountainlandsupply.com to find the location nearest to you.
This is Brian Taylor. There are things in your life that stand out as significant, game changers even. They impact everything else you do. I'm not overstating when I say my choice to have LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision was one of those. Growing up, I had good vision. I never wanted glasses. One day in college, I realized I couldn't see the whiteboard. Finally, I broke down, I got glasses and contacts, and I was introduced to the world of irritated and dry eyes, contact solution, broken glasses, you name it. Finally, I had LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. This was a game changer. No more contacts, no more solution, no more glasses. Instantly, I could see. It was so easy and it worked. My only regret was waiting so long. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with the latest technology, they give you more options than ever. Do yourself a favor. Go to hoopsvision.com right now and schedule your free consultation. And mention Real Golf Radio and save $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Hoops Vision is your key to making sure nothing gets between you and your life focus. It's one of those moments you'll always remember.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks to Ryan Ballingy for spending a little extra time with us there. Some pretty fascinating storylines, right? I mean, I don't know. He gets me fired up. And he is, Ryan is, he knows how to stir it up a little bit, but it's hard to argue with him, you know, and I'm anxious to get the caddy's take on this coming up in the back nine, hour number two next. But, you know, it sure seems like Patrick Reed is doing all the wrong things here. And I don't know how Tiger would have done it or the PGA Tour would have done it. But in your idea of cutting him loose at the Bahamas and bringing along somebody else, that's pretty unprecedented stuff and pretty, I don't know what's the word, controversial, I guess, stuff for golf. But I'm not so sure it wouldn't have been the right move.
Well, you know, when you think about it, okay, so last Ryder Cup, you know, his wife got in the middle of stuff. How come he's not playing with Jordan? You know, he's paired with Tiger, you know, that kind of stuff. Why break up a good pairing? And then after the matches, he decides that he just throws everybody under the bus. So now we're going into the next set of matches, and that poison, that, you know, everything can infect the team again before the matches even start. So maybe
meaning
one
that
of the
it
ways
gives the internationals a rallying cry. Somebody something to
or the media bombarding them, and because, you know, he makes a spectacle of himself at the Hero. So, you know, my opinion, maybe you cut the guy loose. You let Tiger deflect all that stuff. And then guess what? You pull somebody else in and you get going. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, can you imagine Tiger standing up? We don't stand for this on my team, you know, and maybe Tiger's not comfortable. I think Tiger, although Tiger was held to his integrity, there's no question throughout his career, he has been held to that integrity. Off the course, maybe some of that's come in question, but certainly on the course, he's held that. Interesting comments there. Stay tuned. The back nine, hour number two is next.